Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max were presented by Progressive Insurance.
Ooh, Key, they got the basketball court up.
Outside Seaport.
That's our championship court, Key. We just won a championship.
We did.
That looked better than the one we had.
Yeah, how come they gave us the beat-up one? You can see it on ESPNU right now currently.
That one looked new. Right?
Yeah, okay. You got a nice little...
So Jay, was I... J. Will Arena right there.
Yeah. So was I wrong by saying potato?
You got to put some kind of pop on the potato if you're going to call Jokic a potato.
You think potatoes are good, just plain? I like,
are you saying the way he shaped?
Mash.
No, I mean just I'm talking about just plain potato. Here you go. There's no butter. There's no salt, no pepper, no chives, no sour cream, no nothing.
That's not Jokic. Boy, you going to stop. Jokic just ain't a plain potato from the back.
Jokic just
store.
Gave the whole league that you, work. He's the best player in the game.
See, I'm not talking about a French fry that you fry in grease that may have something fried in it before, so you get a little of the salt from that. I'm not talking about that. I'm just taking it straight from the bag.
No.
I'm boiling the potato. I'm baking it. I'm putting nothing on it. But it's good for you in the end, which that's Jokic.
Is it that good for you, really?
I can't. I can with you. That's the meanest thing a person could say.
You think that's mean?
Yeah, you're calling him bland. You're saying that his game is bland.
No, he's got more snap, crackle, pop, as you like to say, on offense than Duncan used to.
Ooh.
He's got more no look, touch pass type stuff and handles than Duncan. Now, Duncan had a very fundamental offensive game. He was a better defensive player. But
I understand. I came in here. I don't know how long it's been. It feel like the Lakers lost 2 months ago. But I came in and I said to Jay, I said to y'all on the air, I'm like, dude, for real. As a player, it's for even though he's doing all the stuff and the passes and the no looks and at the cup and he can throw a lob to the other guy. All that's cool. But it's something about it. I don't know, man. It don't look.
This is what I think.
Well, just get used to it because it's going to be around for a minute.
Yeah, and you were sleeping on Jokic, and now you're almost trying to justify the sleeping on. Just give it up.
No, I'm not trying to justify it. I'm just trying to understand when you win a championship and you celebrate the way that you celebrate, and that is who he is. It just there was nothing there. It was like, he just won a championship. Did they win that one on the road?
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Didn't. And then you go in and you look at him in the locker room. They give him the champagne bottle. He looks at the champagne bottle. He shakes it once. It goes and walks away. I'm like, come on, man, give me something.
There are some players. By the way, not because he's white and tall and good at basketball, best player in the world, but it reminds me of Larry Bird for another reason. Key, when he beat the Lakers for the first time for the title after the Lakers beat him. They asked him afterward, what's the best part of this? You know what? You remember what Larry Bird said? Think of how psychotic this is. He said, the best part of it is that I know that Magic is suffering in the other locker room. He just won the title. And the best feeling for him is thinking of Magic's pain in the other locker room.
And speaking of, I can't wait to watch Winning Time.
Oh, season two.
Did you see the highlight? Like the
I didn't. Preview? I haven't seen the trailer yet.
Oh, you gotta watch. It's Larry and Magic.
Okay, so
literally dipping in a Budweiser can. He's like, let's just get this blank over with. Going into a press conference, and all the questions are about. It's incredible.
It's dropping on my 50th birthday, Jay.
Look at that
birthday present for me. Oh, that show is so good. All right. Are the Nuggets heading for a we talked about Tim Duncan because he's the big fundamental. I'm sure bored you, Key, right? And not
well,
a big
like
personality
the Spurs in general. It didn't matter who they had.
You know, there. If you take the most objective, I don't have Tim Duncan. I think I have him 11, right, all time. But you could the probably strongest objective arguments place him in the top 10, sometimes top half dozen player who ever lived. But he was not a huge personality. And he didn't have a sizzle type game.
Zero personality. It's like a board.
But Jokic, so Jokic is doing, he's not the defensive player Duncan was, but offensively got a little more. And Duncan, do you consider the Spurs a dynasty for Duncan's career?
Yeah.
He had five chips and that's been. Never
Absolutely.
Went back to back.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It doesn't matter though. They won enough in a short period of time from his youth all the way up until he was old and on his way out the
five
league.
Five is a lot, yeah.
You know what? It's like,
but he started younger than Jokic. Can Jokic start at – yeah, because Duncan won first, second year. Like, right away they won because David Robinson was already there. Jokic is starting at 28. Can he be part of – can this be a dynasty, Jay?
Yeah, has a chance. They'll knock on the door for the next 4 or 5 years. Yeah, like, it has potential to. By the way, the story that he tells postgame about why he wore 15, if you listen to an interview he did with Paolo Banchero from the Orlando Magic, one of their top players, rookie of the year, right, who was on site, he said because it was the only oversized jersey there was, so I just stuck with it because I was a chunky kid. So, like, think about when we were younger, you used to lower the rim, right, and everybody used to try to dunk like Mike or like Vince Carter, Steph Curry, everybody, all these kids shooting from the three-point line. Like, imagine some kid out there now is getting made fun of who, like, you know, it's like, oh, okay. I could be the NBA's best player in the world.
Just
one
thinking
day.
The game better than everybody, passing the ball, you know.
God forbid I'm great at the fundamentals of the game. Yeah. Guys like Key will call me a potato, but I'll be a damn NBA champion.
Key, you did call him
I'll
a potato.
I'll be the best potato there is on the menu, yeah, damn it.
Key called him a potato.
Some kid.
Nikola the Potato
old,
Jokic.
Some kid at 10 years old, 9 years old, whatever, sitting there going, wow, I can't wait to light it up like Jokic.
Don't you can't do the air horn sign yourself.
Yeah, okay. Sell that to somebody else, Jay.
I'm just saying.
All I know is Jokic. Where's 15?
Very seriously.
Kobe said it before. Kobe's like, yo, the AAU game is whack. International players are focusing on the details. Giannis,
that's cool.
Luka.
That's cool. All that is great. I doubt it that there's some player, some kid. That's why you laughing. Exactly. See, Jay Chalk.
Bucket.
You're such
bucket. Unorthodox bucket.
No kid is sitting there going, I want to be Jokic one day and be just like that.
I think that's wrong. I think there are kids out there that dream of being Jokic.
A champion, yes. A champion, yes. But that style, no, Jay.
Meantime, Nikola Jokic wears 15, and I think there's a very strong case that he's the 15th greatest player of all time already. Top 15.
He going to try to play, crawl over the fence nice and tight. Be right there on the edge, Max, without falling off and get to the other side.
Yeah.
He thinks he's slick.
I'm holding
he's gonna, yeah, he's going to hang right there with the Nuggets and their fans. And I really, yeah. He wants to be invited over to Serbia with Jokic. I know you. I know your tricks. Trip. I know the tricks.
Going to come back talking about there's great investment opportunities. And
all that. Meanwhile, he's selling some of his other buddies. Meanwhile, next year he'll be talking about Embiid. Wow, man, Embiid's the best player in the world. I know you.
It's a different crown every year, Key. This changes, baby.
Embiid is the guy now. The way Giannis and Jokic have been these like international star players who have entered the all-time great conversation. If Embiid could chip up, he's going to be in that conversation with those guys, but he's not at the moment.
Let's talk about this for a second.
Yep.
There seems to be this three-headed race for best player in the world, and all three of these guys have just been NBA champions. Mm-hmm. Giannis a couple years ago, Steph last year. Still fighting for that crown.
Mm-hmm.
Jokic this year.
Yep.
Is Kevin Durant still in that equation for fighting for best player in the world?
So interesting because KD ought to be.
It's just a question, right? Because we were talking about KD being one of the most prolific scorers the game has ever seen. But you think about what Giannis does, making everybody else around him better. What Steph does, creating the best environment in basketball. What Jokic does, being one of the most prolific passers in the game, so versatile. And then you're thinking that KD, one of the best scorers ever in the game, like high basketball IQ, but does he fit into that conversation? Just
what,
a question.
What does all three of those guys have in common most recently? Is a world championship. And KD doesn't. Right? He won with the Warriors. What was that, like five, what was that, 5 years ago?
Who have won since without him.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not even talking about that part. I'm just talking about he mentioned Curry, he mentioned Giannis, he mentioned the Joker. They just recently won in our eyes. If KD chip up next year, that thing flips.
Flips. Yep. Yeah, it does.
Because of the championship.
Do you remember what Dr. Andre Snellings had to say on this show about KD?
He said a lot.
He was saying, one of the things he said was, because I was saying KD when he's healthy is still the best player, clearly in the game, et cetera, et cetera. And he pointed out that, here we go into the analytics, okay?
I knew he was about to say
that. The analytics point out that what they demonstrate or what they illustrate is that KD, even when you see him, he's looking for Booker, he seems to make the right basketball play, et cetera. His effect on the group is not the same as Steph's or a guy like Jokic, who seem to actually, like statistically, verifiably, make the players around them better. And if you're going to have the kind of game where even when you make the right play, you're not a team elevator like that. It's your scoring and the things you can do that help your team. And you're also not the type of personality to impose that like MJ or Kobe. Can you be the best player in the world?
But, Jay, let me ask you this question, man. And I'm serious about this. No laughing, no joking, and no interrupting, Max. When KD was in Golden State, when he was at Golden State, did he make them better?
Yes.
Or did they make him better?
It was a combination of both. The system is the best system with that person. He fits seamlessly into that system and elevates it, right? So it's having the most prolific scorer that draws so much attention, but in that continuity system, it was the perfect storm, Key. Perfect storm.
What about the idea?
There are not too many players that you can just drop into that system and it just operate on all cylinders.
Can I rephrase?
Like
can I rephrase? Because I agree. I see where Key is going. Yes, of course he makes every team much better because KD is on it.
I'm talking about players, not the team.
The players, based on what you said about elevating the players. So what I'm asking, so let me rephrase that, okay? Is he a force multiplier? So in the Golden State scenario, you add KD, it's impossible, right? But they were already right there. I mean, they were right there, and then he put them over the top. But Jokic seems to me, Steph seems to me to be force multipliers. They change the whole dynamic of all the players, the entire team functions at a higher level. It's not simply their individual contribution, you know, adding on to the team. It's a multiplication issue.
Well, Steph creates that environment where everybody can go get theirs.
Yeah.
And so does KD to a degree, but Steph changes the geometry of the court, right, which creates better spacing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we'll get into that when we come back from break, though. That's a lot. There's a lot to unpack there.
Nuggets headed for a dynasty. 888-SAY-ESPN.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And joined now by Timmy Goodtimes, Tim Bond Temps, ladies and gentlemen. Morning, Tim.
Morning.
Laker
hater.
There you go.
Tim, you know, we're talking a lot about Jokic this morning. Keyshawn Johnson likened him to a potato. Seems to, he doesn't mean the body shape either. He means the kind of flavor. And yet it seems to me that he is certainly a top 20 player ever already, maybe top 15, and the best player in the game presently, just had one of the greatest postseason runs of all time. What do you have to say about Jokic in these finals, in the playoffs overall?
Well, Tim Duncan was pretty bland too, right? And he was a top 5 or 10 player of all time, and Jokic is certainly headed down the same path. I mean, you know, like you said, Max, he just obliterated everybody in the playoffs. And yes, I know people are going to say that the Nuggets didn't have a historically great slate of opponents in the postseason, played 2 8-seeds, played a 7-seed, didn't play a 3-seed in the playoffs. But you know what? They dominated every series they were in. And all you could do is play the teams that are in front of you. Mm-hmm. And you look at the way Jokic led that team through the playoffs, nearly averaged a triple-double for the entire playoffs. You know, it was truly impressive stuff. And he answered every question that people like me had about his game and whether it would translate to the playoffs coming into this postseason. So I think that Denver is certainly set up to me as the team to beat in the West going into the next season. And with the age of their core players and the fact that everybody's under contract, you have to look at them as a team that's going to be right there in the mix for the next several years in the West. And as you said, with two MVPs, with a championship, with the statistical profile he already has, you're talking about a guy that's, you know, already putting up numbers that put him up in the top 20, 25 of all time, and he's in his late 20s. So there's a ton of road left to run for him to move way up that list.
Tim, all these great superlatives that you're dropping right now to define Jokic, it's making a lot of Heat fans sad. I know we have Stacey on the line. We'll get to Stacey in a second. But, Tim, let me get back to Michael Malone for a second. We were talking earlier about the top coaches in the league. And, obviously, Eric Spoelstra's name is there. You know, Ty Lue's name is there. Steve Kerr's name is there. And a lot of great talent. How would you stack up Michael Malone as it relates to top coaches in the league right now?
He's got to be right near the top of the list, Jay. Well, I mean, he's done a phenomenal job, and it's also a testament to the way Denver's organization has been run, right? I mean, two of the, I believe, the second and third longest tenured coaches in the league were coaching in this series, in Spo and Michael behind Pop. And, you know, the Nuggets could have fired Michael Malone after they didn't make the playoffs in his third season for a third year in a row, lost to Jimmy Butler and the Wolves in, you know, the first sort of de facto play-in game in the final game of the regular season. But they stuck with him, and the results have borne out over the past several years. I mean, he has really infused these guys with a ton of confidence, and he's put them in the right positions and has done a fantastic job. And, you know, certainly looks like he's going to be there for a really long time because, like we just talked about, this group isn't going anywhere. And as for the Heat, I mean, they certainly shouldn't be – anybody who's either a Heat fan or with the Heat should not be disappointed. I mean, they had an iconic run through these playoffs and ultimately just ran into a better team and didn't even play that badly in this series. It was a lot like the West Finals where I thought the Lakers acquitted themselves pretty well despite getting swept. They just played a better team who just outplayed them in each game, and that's really, to me, sort of the way this series played out, too. The Nuggets just made the plays necessary to close these games out.
Yeah, Tim, see, let me go back to what Max said originally. The reason I liken Jokic to a potato is because a potato is very plain. You break it out the bag, it's plain. If you steam it, you boil it, you do anything with it without adding something to it, it's exactly what we saw on last night's game. A guy who is dominant, who's one of the top things on the floor, just like a potato is typically a top thing on a side menu. It's good. There's nothing wrong with it. Where Jimmy Butler, on the other hand, has a little more sugar, a little more sweet potato to his game because it's all around both ends of the floor. But he hadn't played well at all in these finals. What did you make of the way especially he played last night outside of the 13 points that he scored in that five-minute stretch?
Yeah, I mean, look, Jimmy didn't play quite clearly to the same level he did earlier in the playoffs, right? And is that a combination of him wearing down because of the load he's had? Maybe. Was he dealing with some injury stuff? Maybe. Did he just not shoot it as well like a lot of the Heat guys did as the playoffs went along? Maybe. I mean, he certainly didn't look the same physically after he sprained his ankle at the end of the fourth quarter at game one against the Knicks in the second round. But look, I also think, to your point, Keyshawn, that's part of why Jokic's playoffs were so impressive, because it's really hard to play at that insanely high level every other day for 2 months, right? And for as great as Jimmy was in the playoffs, he couldn't consistently stay at that level for another 2 or 3 weeks, whereas Jokic was playing 44, 45 minutes and was being the best player on the court every game. And ultimately, that was the difference in the series, right? You're going to win a lot of the time. These series come down to how do the best players play. And throughout the first three rounds of the playoffs, Jimmy Butler was the best player on the court. And in this series, there was little doubt from the start of the series who the best player was. And for the same reason, there was little doubt about who was going to win it.
Tim Bontemps, ESPN NBA reporter. Tim, we're talking about Jimmy Butler and maybe the ankle injury or something like that. Maybe he was saving it for the fourth quarter. And on this just in, I kept predicting Jimmy Butler's going to have a big fourth quarter, double-digit points, and they'll win the game. And he did have a big fourth quarter last night and gave him a lead at one point. You know, it just wasn't quite enough. What do you think Miami has to do to take the next step?
They've got to add another elite scoring player. Like, you look at their team, and for as good as they were in these playoffs, and they were awesome, and it was a great story. If Bam Adebayo is your second scorer, your number two option on offense, probably not exactly where you want to be from a championship equity standpoint. If he's your third guy and he's moving the ball and being an elite defensive center and, you know, getting 7-8 assists and giving you 15 points, that's probably where you want to be. So I think, you know, and look, the Heat have always, you know, as Brian Windhorst said the other day, he wrote a column about it, the Heat, all the entire time Pat Riley is there, have consistently hunted for stars. And they've got, you know, Tyler Hero under contract going forward. They've got, you know, several draft picks they can move around. They've got, you know, they've got stuff they can do to try to go get another elite player. And I suspect that they'll be spending the summer aggressively trying to improve the roster, because Jimmy Butler is entering his mid-30s. And while he's clearly one of the elite players in the league, you've only got a limited amount of time where you're going to have him playing at this kind of level. So, you know, I expect there to be a lot of movement this summer in general, and I'm sure the Heat are going to be aggressively trying to make their team better. But I think when you saw how this series went, ultimately Miami just couldn't score enough. And so I think in addition to having all these perimeter shooters around Jimmy and Bam, they've got to add another guy that is a high-level scorer and creator if they want to have a chance to take a you know, that final step next year and win a championship.
Tim Bontemps, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN NBA reporter. Thank you, Tim.
All right, Tim.
Tim's nowhere near
anytime, guys.
It's my guy.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
KJM is brought to you by Beacon. Beacon and the Beacon Pro Plus app helps roofers get things done from anywhere 24/7. Beacon, always building.
Yo, Max, can we talk about Keys Potato for a second?
Go ahead.
Keys Potato becomes the first player drafted outside the top 15 to win both the NBA Finals MVP and the regular season MVP in NBA history.
He was drafted in the second round.
And as I told you, when you read that's off earlier in the show, you read off everything.
That's a good potato.
At the moment in time that you were being interrupted, you read off everything. I closed my eyes. I said, that is the top dog in the NBA, in the world right now. I get all that. I'm not saying that he's not good. I'm just saying, for me and my liking, it's bland. I'm not.
But you only.
I just like certain stuff.
You
got to
slice the potato down the middle.
I just like certain stuff.
Put some butter on it. Let it sit. You know what I mean? Put some salt. Put some pepper on it. Put some sour cream on that thing. Mix it up.
That's a lot, though, Jay.
Ooh, that's a good potato.
Why do I
right
have
there.
To? Why do I have to do all of that? I mean, obviously, I want to win a championship, but why?
Because
why
that's
do I
why.
Want to? Yeah, why do I want to do all that when I can get a nice sweet potato caramelized when I bake it and it's oozing out the side? And that's what I like.
You know what it's much more like? I mean, that's listen, first all. Of all, Key, I give you credit. At least you're being creative and coming up with analogies. Jay, a caller earlier, did the same thing with the Super Friends. He said Jimmy Butler's like Batman. He doesn't have superpowers, but he gets the most out of it. So at least Key's being creative. But let me now try to amend or add to what you said, Key. I don't think he's a potato. I think if you're talking about the meal, he's the steak. Now, you might say that there's nothing on the steak yet. You need to season it up. You need to get a little Jamal Murray, and now you got, like, the perfect meal, right? But he is the main thing in the meal. You can build a championship team around Jokic, and that was the whole question. Because Jamal Murray's been hurt the last couple years in the playoffs. The question's been, if you put Jamal Murray with Jokic, this Jokic, can you win a championship? The answer is a resounding yes.
So then what food is the most complimentary to the steak?
A potato.
Maybe the potato. You're saying Jamal Murray's a potato. I'm saying Jamal Murray's a potato.
But I was
Jamal Murray a potato.
But no, I was literally about to say he didn't win anything without Jamal Murray.
Yeah, you're right.
So when you say you can build a team around the Joker,
yeah.
Wouldn't you say that you would build a team around Jamal Murray?
Not exactly, because I would say the additive is Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray's additive because he is able to elevate in the playoffs to be he's a superstar in the playoffs. He's a good player in the regular season. He's a superstar in the playoffs. 25 points, 5 assists, 5 boards, you know, great shooting percentage, 40, 50, 90 guy. He's a superstar. But the best player on the team, clearly, and the guy around which everything revolves is Jokic. I mean, you know, he's the main guy.
Look, man, I like the dude, right? I'm not going to sit up and say he doesn't put me to sleep. I like some of the stuff because it's funny that he's so big and he's able to do the things that he's doing and he has no muscle and he just plays. He doesn't say much. I'm fine with that. I like a little sizzle, though. See, even Dirk, when he played, he had a little sizzle. I mean, it was something about him come to the stadium with his food wrapped in aluminum foil. I'm like, okay, yeah, I like that.
But let's be clear.
Look at that body right there on ESPNU. That's chiseled.
Jokic is better. Jokic's better than Dirk Nowitzki ever was.
Look at him.
It's not like I'm sitting here going, I'm not getting the epitome of a dad bod.
You talk to Jay about who was better and all that sort of stuff.
He's better than Dirk Nowitzki.
I'm not even about to get into that. I'm not going to argue that.
Dirk
because
is an incredible
scorer,
an incredible shooter. Wait, he spent 1 year of his life as the best player in the NBA they chipped up. Jokic has 2 back-to-back regular season MVPs, very nearly 3, and just had a finals, a whole playoff series, at least as good as Dirk Nowitzki's
Let me tell you something, Max. I watched enough NBA. I've been around enough NBA players to know. As of right now, he's not better than Dirk. Dirk also dealt with the likes of the Kobe Bryants of the world, the Tim Duncans of the world.
Who's KD?
Like, stop, man.
Who's LeBron?
LeBron is 65 years old, man.
What are you talking about?
Stop. LeBron is old. Stop.
Kobe was older, too, when Dirk
No, he
got
was
him.
Not.
Yeah, he was.
When Dirk was around,
Kobe never won a championship again after Dirk played him, right? Like, he was already
crazy,
in the back half
Max.
Of his career. Back
Kobe was not old with
He wasn't
Dirk.
Old, but he was no longer the very best version of Kobe.
Are you crazy?
LeBron.
They just came off two damn titles. What are you talking about?
LeBron and Miami
Max?
Were loaded.
No, Jay just made a good point. They beat a loaded LeBron team. It's true.
It's loaded.
Like, stop
I'm way
it.
Better we only got a couple minutes left.
We got a while. We can take this thing to tomorrow if you want to.
Dirk Nowitzki was never a back-to-back MVP, almost a 3-time MVP. His playoff run was not quite as good as Jokic. Jokic was impossible.
It was a different time and period.
Jokic just led the
beating LeBron and D Wade and Chris Bosh in Miami.
I can't answer that. That's right. That's an unanswered.
Most incredible things I've ever.
That's simply in Dirk's column. I can't answer that with something that Jokic did. But this is something Jokic did that Dirk didn't do. He just led the entire league throughout the playoffs in points, rebounds, and assists. He was not extended really in any series, and he's Finals MVP. after coming in second in MVP because there was a straw poll and people got outraged. He was about to win three in a row before he'd won a title.
I was trying to
get to a caller that has become a staple of the show for over the last couple of months, and we've been having a lot of great back and forth. And right now, you know, I just want to get the pillow out for her. A lot of tears. Stacey, I know it's tough, and I know it's challenging. How are you today?
I'm okay.
All right.
She had Key for
Stacey,
a second.
You're the best.
She for sure had me. I was like, oh, okay.
Stacey's the best.
I'm doing okay. As a diehard Miami Heat fan, I am very sad. Am I disappointed? No, because, you know, like I said earlier in the show, our heart was more in it because the drive that they had was so unexpected, and it just made us believe that we can do it. But in our head, we knew that in this series that we were, might as well say it, Denver had way more talent than we did. And I do not disagree with Spoelstra not playing Hero, Tyler Hero, because Tyler Hero will be included in a trade for either Dame Lillard or Bradley Beal. So, and you can't risk him getting hurt. And we will be back here next year, like Jimmy Butler said once before last year. We will be back, but we'll just have Dame time on the roster.
Great closing words, Stacey.
Stacey, ladies
great
and gentlemen,
season,
who had us going for a second there in the beginning.
Yeah, she great sure season, Stacey.
I was like, yeah. Oh.
Her voice was cracking and everything.
Nice actress.
Heat fans, how you feeling after your team came up short against the juggernaut? 888-SAY-ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Heat fans, how you feeling?
Ooh. My man.
How you feeling today? Proud of your team that you made it to the finals and didn't get swept against the juggernaut? As a 7 seed, really an 8 seed after you lost the first playing game? Upset Giannis in the Bucks, upset Tatum in the Celtics? Or disappointed? Ooh. Is it a disappointing season in the end? Benjamin in Los Angeles, you're on KJM ESPN
My
Radio.
My man, Benny, baby, what's happening?
What's up, Benji? What's up, everybody? You know what I'm saying? Man, first of all, you already know, man, much love to all y'all, man, everybody. Even, you know, Pat, Officer Friendly. You know what I'm saying? You got Yates. You know what I'm saying? We got Nuno, Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, y'all the Bulls dynasty, man. So straight up, you know what I'm saying? But
I'm Jordan.
Let me say, man, I'm mad, Nuno, man, that you ain't put me on while Monaco was still there, though, man. I was trying to put my bid in, bro. You know what I'm saying? But dang, but it's all good. But check me out, man. I had Denver in 7, man. I had Denver in 7. So I'm going to say, as a hooper myself, I'm disappointed in the Heat because, truth be told, it's like with Jimmy Butler in particular, like even Jeff Van Gundy was saying, like he was like depending on his role players to basically lead the way, and it just didn't make sense to me. But I'm going to just say, I ain't going to even dwell on the Heat. I'm going to just say this. Denver, I saw something special, man. It looks special, man. And Michael Malone, that dude is special. Like, he got a vibe about him. It's like that white dude that was in the hood. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's something about him, man. Like, he got a vibe about him, man. So when you got a special leader like that, like a Michael Malone, you can't bet against that, man. And then, like I said, with Jokic and Murray, I know this might sound like blasphemy to a lot of people, but I got a Kobe Shaq vibe.
Yeah.
Like, just that, not no style of play, but that it was an energy there that I felt like that Kobe Shaq vibe to me. So it looked special, man. It really did look special, man. So I'm going to just big the Nuggets up, man. In particular, Michael Malone, man. That dude is special, man. But yeah, man, y'all should have kept Monica on so I could put in my bid. I'm kind of mad about that, though, but all righty.
Hey, shooters always shoot, Benji. You'll be all right. I will say, though, like, just about your Jimmy Butler point, that was something that I felt some kind of way about, too. And I get the injury. I if that's a bigger thing, then we'll find out. But there was something to be said about when you're watching guys like Gabe Vincent struggle, when you're watching guys like Max Strus struggle, you're still trusting in your teammates. But at some junction, you know, my teammates got to get on my back. I'm about to carry y'all. Like, in this moment, I'm going to carry on until you get to a place where you feel comfortable, but then you can knock down those shots. But, like, that needs to be done early in the game to establish what time it was, and it was a missed opportunity.
Ideally, yes. I do think, you know, Teofimo Lopez told me, because he dominated the fight the other night, won the junior welterweight title, took the 10th round off. I asked him why he did it. He said, because I wanted to close strong in the championship rounds, 11th and 12th. I think Jimmy Butler knew I'm going to need to make a push in late in the fourth quarter for us to have a chance to win. I think he decided that's our best shot.
But you can't decide something before the game even starts, Max. You have to take what the game gives you.
Okay, but maybe he was also doing that. But the fact is, last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter, we had that on the screen earlier. Last night, 13 points on 60% from the floor and gave him the lead at one point.
I mean,
there was
foul trouble in the first half for multiple players in the Denver Nuggets, and he shot 7% from the three-point line in the first half. So you see, those are like opportunities where it's like, hey, like, punish them for it.
You know, in life, if you look back and think, did I achieve optimal results? Almost never. That almost never happens. So you may be right that whatever he did was not perfect. But the perfect is the enemy of the good. You look back and you say, but did he do well in game five? I think he did overall. It just could have been better.
What did Scottie Pippen do right there? I was trying to read that. They took it off the board.
Pippen, let's put it back on the graphic.
What was it? Most over the last 50 finals. Scottie Pippen, 14. Is that 14 points in 1997? Is that what that is?
Yeah, in 97, yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. 5 for 5 from the line, 2 of 4 from three. Jimmy Butler, 3 of 5 from the field, 13 points. Last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter.
Pat, be quiet.
That's really what he said.
No, I'm talking about Pat in my ear, man.
What did Pat say?
Said something about the last name Pippen in a podcast or something.
For crying out loud.
Check it out.
Really, the question is for the Nuggets dynasty, and you brought it up earlier, Jay. I think the real main questions are Jamal Murray's health. Can he stay healthy? Right? Because when he wasn't healthy, they didn't make a deep run. Well, they made a run, but not to the finals. And Porter Jr.'s contract, can they overcome it? Right? Given his back issues.
What's wrong with his contract?
He's making $180 million, and his back prevents him from being the player he could otherwise be.
I mean, he had a really good year.
He certainly had a good year and played well last night for him. What's wrong?
Last night, he had one good game. He was very bad.
Yeah, but he played better defensively. He still didn't hit his stride offensively.
Yeah,
guys,
but
he played better defensively.
Guys, he was not a $180 million player in the playoffs.
But they
Come
can't
on.
Worry about that right now. They just won a championship, and he contributed to it last night, closing it out at home.
Hold on. A lot of times, like, well, they're being negative when it's time to be positive. What we're analyzing is, can they be a dynasty? So especially in the new CBA, there's not much less financial wiggle room for teams. You got Jokic and Murray. That's the core of everything, right? Aaron Gordon's actually probably your third best player. The question is, can they survive a $180 million contract to a guy with a bad back where that back seems to prevent him from being the best version of himself?
If he can do what he did for them this year and he can continue to do that and what he did last night, then they'll survive it.
He's still so young. That's the only thing, Max.
Yeah,
he's 24 years old. Like, he's still coming into his own. Nowhere even close to his prime if he can stay healthy.
You think if they could get out of that contract, they would?
But you just won a championship. I don't know.
That's what I'm. I know, but going. You have to be able to analyze.
I'm able to analyze. I do it every single day.
So sometimes it's going to sound like it's being negative, but you're assessing the pros and cons.
I'm saying there were moments throughout the season where Michael Porter Jr. was prolific.
Yeah, was quite good.
Prolific.
I get it.
So I get the struggles in the NBA Finals, but I mean, it's about the full body of work.
Jimmy Butler had struggles in the Finals too. Does it mean that you're going to get rid of his contract?
The difference is he's the third highest. This new CBA, it's going to be difficult to have three max or near max players on the same team. So if you have that third guy at a near max contract, you can't really afford for him to not be worth all of that money. Because it means it's going to be harder to pay the rest of the guys on your roster.
Why would anybody else want your problems then, Max?
Right?
They're trying to build a championship too.
Keith, that's what I'm asking about the Nuggets. But in terms of them being a dynasty, the questions to me seem to be Jamal Murray's health and Porter Jr.'s contract.
Those aren't,
something I'm missing?
Those are the things that I stated would be the challenges for the Denver Nuggets moving forward. I think there are ways that you can reconstruct Michael Porter's, if he's not living up to expectations when that time comes.
Jay, take that potato.
I'm not sure the open market will give him that same contract if he's not putting in that similar type of work that he did throughout the regular season.
Apparently, there's a caller or two on the line that want to jump in.
You want to ride it out?
I'm not going to get out of the contract now. You just won an NBA championship.
Well, Key suggested earlier also it's going to be hard to move off it. Ken in Boston, you're on KJM.
Hey, guys, great show. Listen to you every morning on my way to work. I just want to address the whole potato comment. I'm sure you guys have had your fair share of fine dining. Nikola is clearly a, like, nice filet or, like, prime rib.
Yeah.
And Murray is clearly the peppercorn sauce that contributes to the dish.
Peppercorn sauce, absolutely. Oh, poivre.
Are you not a peppercorn guy, Key?
Good.
I don't like peppercorn sauce.
Really?
I'm going to need another meal comparison.
How about an au poivre? You know, like it's got a little creamy peppercorn.
What is
situation.
That?
I don't like pepper. I just don't like the peppercorn sauces. I don't. If it's not A1, then I'm eating a steak the way it is.
What did you say, au poivre?
Yeah.
What's in a, how do you even
it's
spell
it? It's either A1 or nothing.
P-O-I-V-R-E, au
poivre. But what am to the O part?
A-U.
Oh, A-U.
Max, you're a Heinz 57 guy, huh?
What's that?
You like Heinz 57 too, huh?
No, I on a good steak, I don't want anything like that. If I'm going to have a sauce, Heinz, it'll be a little open.
You wouldn't even see the steak as a kid. Just smothered.
Greeny is coming up. We're back 6 a.m. tomorrow Eastern. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.